Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we bring to an end a busy period of league football ahead of Scottish Cup weekend. Rangers beat Aberdeen 3-0 to reduce the gap at the top to 13 points as the Dons go 12 without a win. Kyogo's linked with a move away to Rennes. Kieran Tierney back to Celtic picks up pace. And Motherwell's injury crisis deepens with Paul McGinn's season over and goalkeeper Aston Oxborough facing months on the sidelines as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, two men fighting fit as always. It's Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, looking forward to the weekend, Gordon. Scottish Cup, we always look forward to that, but I think still a lot to unpick from the midweek fixtures. Celtic at Dens Park, surviving a late scare with another Engels penalty to earn them a point, but thought Rangers were really impressive last night. Aberdeen was never going to be an easy game with everything that comes with that fixture, but they made it look easy at times, and you're right in saying Jimmy Thielen's team and a bit of bother after a wonderful start. They cannot buy a win anywhere, but Rangers still had to score three goals to get the job done, and they done it pretty convincingly last night.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mixed bag for the top two midweek, starting up at Dens Park with Celtic, but once again showed great character, got that goal to give them a point and take down the road. And then everything was focused on Ibrox last night. Very good game. I thought Rangers were excellent. 3-0, I think, flattered Aberdeen. You've got to ask a question. What has happened to Aberdeen in the last 12 games? They need to sort it out quickly.
Answer the man, Aberdeen fans. It would be nice to hear from you, because we did a bit at the start of the season when everyone was singing the praises. But this is remarkable. 12 games without a win. Didn't really offer too much last night. So where's it going wrong, Aberdeen fans? Can you put your finger on it? How worried are you? What does that slide look like? Where does the slide end? Give us your thoughts on how this goes in the coming months. Rangers fans, though, what did you take away from last night then? What impressed you? Who impressed you? It's another goal for Iggeman. He's only one goal off being the top scorer or joint top scorer in the Premiership. And bearing in mind, I don't think he scored a league goal until December. So what are you making of him? Clinton and Siala as well, starting to tick along. A few more performances under his belt. How is he looking? Is he one that you think could stay in the team? Tavernier and Balogun coming back in last night as well. So what impressed you there, Rangers fans? I know it's difficult because ultimately you probably want to wait until the next away game to see if that's fixed. But what else can Philippe Clement do right now other than win the home games that are in front of him? So whatever you took away from last night, there was the other side of things in the last few days about atmosphere and walkouts and protests and all that stuff. Nothing of that note, I don't think, last night. There was the odd banner. So if you've got any wider thoughts about the position of the club, you can share them as well. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, you got any lingering thoughts from Dens Park the other night that you want to share? Let's do them again. Players that did stand up and were counted, but maybe I'm more into focus this week, players that are underperforming. I think we all saw what Brendan Rodgers thought about Austin Trusty's defending. Adam Ida came in for a bit of stick last night on the show as well. So give us all your thoughts there. And what about this transfer window then? Because we've had so many games, we have reached the midway point of the January window, and I feel like we've not really spoken about it on the show. It's been very quiet. So it looks like a more imminent move for Kieran Tierney. He was picking up a bit of pace yesterday. So Celtic fans, what are your latest thoughts there? It does look like there's genuine interest from Rennes in Kyogo. Is that something that worries you? Would you let him go? Would you keep him at all costs until the end of the season or maybe beyond? Your thoughts there, please, and any of your other favourite transfer rumours that are doing the rounds. Motherwell fans, it's a new medical room you'll be needing to build with all these injuries mounting up. It is the Scottish Cup weekend, not too far away as well, so no shortage of talking points. 0141 951 1025.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Scottish Cup. We always do, Gordon. We always try and pick out a shock. I think there's one or two potentials there. Great games as well, obviously.
You're actually going to Elgin, Aberdeen, to keep an eye on.
I'd love to. I'd love a good trip up to Elgin, especially to see that statue where Mark played his last game as a manager.
Well remembered. Yeah, I thought you forgot that.
Don't you worry, I've got that one in the locker.
What does that say about the relationship between you two, where he cannot remember his own debut, the first goal he scored, the last game, but he remembers where you got the sack?
It's disgusting.
He remembers which League Two ground you got the sack.
I've got it tattooed on my arm, let me tell you, the date and everything.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the midweek, Gordon. You look at, you know, some of the Celtic fans still a bit disappointed. You've got guys coming in for a bit of criticism now. Ida, for instance, he got it last weekend. He's got it on Tuesday night as well. You look at Trusty. Brendan Rodgers certainly was not happy with Trusty.
Whatever gave you that idea?
Oh, listen, I've had stronger mints than what he was. I thought he was really poor. He's got to. I'm trying to use different words for Brendan Rodgers.
Weak as what?
Polite words.
I was going to say it.
So yeah.
And then you roll on to Wednesday, and I've got to say, I said on Tuesday that, and probably people disagreed, I said on Tuesday that I'd stick with Clement, right? I'm not the greatest fan, but I would stick with him. And the reason being, I think European, Scottish Cup, he was unlucky in the League Cup final, obviously, beating penalties with Celtic. The away record's dreadful. The home record's very, very good. I was impressed with Rangers last night. Okay, Aberdeen, I've no idea what's happened to them, but it was all about Rangers for me. I was very impressed with the football. I was impressed with a lot of their players and the goals. And I think there was a very good performance, but he's got to take that on. His next away game, I think, Stannardise against Dundee United, he's got to start turning that form. If he's going to keep his job, he's got to start turning that round.
Come on then, what did you make of Ibrox last night?
Ibrox.
What did you take away from it? Simple as that. There's so much going on at the moment. So what is on your mind? Share it with the guys on 01419511025. Philippe Clement says last night's victory is further proof that his team are improving in the final third.
It's about us on the pitch, showing the right things. And then the fans go behind, and I saw a lot of people who are happy after the game, going home with a really good feeling, because the team did what our ambition is, to do it much more. That's our ambition, and that's why we're working hard with them, all of them, to get it much more than we had already this season. But everybody sees, and we had several really good moments also, that way, that this team is growing and getting better. We need to get that now also in these away games. That's a crucial one.
And there's no choice but to wait, you know, and see if they can. And that, you know, is where it's difficult as a manager when there is pressure on. You can't fix it. You can't take it all away with a game against St Johnstone and a game against Aberdeen. We're just going to need to wait and see what the away form holds.
I think he'll know that by now. You know, there's only so much you can say and so much positive spin you can put on it. But
could have made it much worse, to be fair. The other way around.
Oh, of course. But the Rangers fans, I don't think, are blinded by anything. I think they will appreciate their team's performance. I think they enjoyed it last night against an Aberdeen team that made it difficult for them at Pittodrie. But you're right, Dundee United wins the test next.
Martin's an Aberdeen fan, so maybe it's the Aberdeen fans that have got more to say after the game at Ibrox last night. Martin, what is happening?
How are you doing, guys? All right?
Good, Martin. I suspect you're not quite as good. What's happening with your team?
I spoke to Mark and I spoke to Gordon, and I thought we actually turned the corner with this manager with the start of the season, and hopes were high. But I mean, I can't even just get my head to ruin the last 12 games. If you take it into context, 23 goals we've conceded in 12 games. That's 2 goals a game. Barry Robson gets sacked and he won 4 games out of 14. Has Jimmy Tilleen lost somewhat of the dressing room?
What does that mean, Martin? What does it mean? Because we always hear that.
Look at the impact that he done at the start of the season, Gordon. When we were in trouble, when we were down, And when we're losing goals with Hearts, Hibs, St Mirren, we took it. He sent Owen Ambrose and all these guys, and they made an impact straight away. Now there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And now we took advantage of Hearts and the teams at Kilmarnock and St Mirren because they were in Europe. That's probably why we went on a long losing run, because we never had European football, and now it all comes to fruition and makes common sense. I think any other manager than Jimmy Tillim would be out the door now.
Really? I think it's too. Listen, Martin is disappointed, and so is Aberdeen fans, because they got off to such a great start. At the beginning of the season, people were actually talking about, can they win the league? Can they split Celtic and Rangers? It was never going to happen over the distance, course and distance.
Are we having a will they finish top six discussion at any point soon?
Seriously, I think so.
You talk there about defence, right? I think Aberdeen have completely changed. I watched them last night. They were dreadful, right? They were dreadful. The first goal summed them up. And then Rangers just cut them open at ease. They don't play with the same sort of passion, the pace, the closing down, everything about them. They've sort of lost that for some reason. I think that you talk about the goals that have conceded. They're easy to score against. They've scored 8 goals in 12 games, right? So all of a sudden, everything from losing goals and not scoring goals and not winning games has completely crashed in on top of them. And you look at the manager, look, the manager's not going to get sacked because they're backing him now, they're giving them money, they're going to go to the end of the season, they'll probably back him again and give him next season. But for if you're an Aberdeen fan, that hope has completely now gone from you.
I think Daz is right by highlighting the problem at both ends of the pitch, because it's easy just to point at the defence, and the defence is a problem, because I think at the start of the season you had players that were overperforming. Look at Devlin, the way he was. Look up now how he's performing, certainly underperforming. There's been no real middle ground consistency there. You're chopping and changing your back four, you're bringing in new players as well. McKenzie at left back's been missing through injury as well, so that doesn't help. But at the early part of the season, they had players, and Martin's right in the phone, players coming off the bench as well who would impact the game. And I always spoke about the forward runs that they had. I seen it at Celtic Park. They had guys that showed ambition to get in the box, and that's where they got their goals from. Even at Celtic Park, they did. They got a couple of goals. That's just gone now. And look at the last three games. They've scored in the last three games. So problems at both ends of the pitch. Trying to integrate new players into that now that he's signed a few isn't going to be easy either. So he's got problems. And I think you're right in highlighting that the top six discussion might just be concerning Aberdeen fans at the minute, because you must be looking at that thinking, where's the next victory going to come from?
We've got Motherwell fans that phone in here dissatisfied at the season so far, and yet they could easily catch...
Well, 4 points between them.
Aberdeen.
Hibs are 6 points. Hibs were bottom of the league.
And Hibs are motoring.
While Aberdeen were sitting setting.
Well, it's that night, isn't it? It's the 3-3 draw. His Rocky Bashiri's goal has altered the future of Scottish football forever, by the looks of it. Martin, where do you think Aberdeen will finish?
I don't know. I was one on here, and Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, who I respect totally, I was on ranting and raving because I was confirmed we're going to finish second. Did I not say that to you, Mark?
You did. I remember.
But even I must apologise for being the biggest plank of wood that's ever existed, because when I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. Do you know what I mean, Gordon?
Don't get many callers like you, Mark.
Yeah. Gordon, I think last night what was maybe alarming for fans like Martin is that was... because in isolation, you can go to Ibrox and lose a game, obviously. They offered less than various Aberdeen teams of the past have offered. Do you know what I mean? Even teams that from Aberdeen that have maybe not even been having a good season have gone there and offered more than what happened last night.
Under a new manager when he came in, I thought they looked well disciplined, well drilled, difficult to beat, good character. They showed that at Celtic Park. Remember that run that they had to go on? There were a good four games. Everybody was talking about, well, this will see how Aberdeen are going to go, because they've got Celtic, Dundee United, I think, Rangers, and Celtic again in the cup, whatever it may be. But they looked all over it. There was no structure whatsoever to their play last night. Their first goal is honestly a schoolboy, right?
I mean, is this where it's bound to be a combination of factors? You know, Martin uses that great phrase about losing the dressing room, and yes, you know, there are absentees, and that's why Nielsen's playing at the back. But that's a mistake that just can't happen. No matter who you are, where you are, what impact the manager, whether he has or hasn't lost the dressing
room. That's what I'm saying about players underperforming. I mean, at the start of the season, you could clearly see, and it resulted in Scotland call-ups for a couple of the players as well. They were overperforming, everything was going well. You looked at Devlin against Rangers. Remember that game at Pittodrie? He was unbelievable at right back, getting into the opposition box. That's all gone now. So how much do you pin on the manager? I don't know. Can he change his tactics? That's kind of...
You've got to pin
almost.
Everything in the manager. You can't give him all the plaudits when he's doing brilliantly and then go when he's doing bad. What can we pin on him?
Okay, thank you to Martin, an Aberdeen fan, clearly not impressed. What about you Rangers fans though? You'll be feeling a bit better about the match. What stood out for you in a more positive sense? Bert is on. How are you, Bert?
Hello, yes.
What are you thinking?
I am just thinking that Rangers are going to win the remainder of their home games and go on to win the league. Philippe picks up his away record.
You genuinely believe that?
Yep.
But show me. So
yep. Hand on heart.
So Rangers would need to win every fixture that they've got left, which would include two Celtic games. That in theory takes you down.
I think the last Old Firm puts it across that Rangers absolutely dismantled Celtic in a manner that which I've never seen in my lifetime.
No, well, it sounds a bit over the top, but even within that, if we were to give you that, then Celtic would still... You'd need to win every other game, and then Celtic would need to drop 8 points, seven, eight points out with that.
Celtic showed chicken their armour last on Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, sorry.
This is what happens with Rangers. They're a yo-yo side for me. One minute the manager's brilliant, next manager he should be out the door, the fans are delighted with the football, next minute they go away from home and it's back to the, you know, it's not good enough, Rangers aren't good enough to play, the players aren't fit enough for the jersey. Look, there's 13 points now, add on goal difference, probably 14, right? I'd need a massive turnaround that I don't think's going to happen. But the one thing I will say is, I said it a few months ago, I was fed up watching Rangers, bore-fest. I really enjoyed the game last night. I thought going along to Ibrox, if you went along there as a supporter, you enjoyed it. I thought their pace of their football, some of the interlinking football was good. They scored some good goals, probably could have scored a lot more. So I think if you're a Rangers fan today, you're in a good place. You've got Fraser Burr at the weekend at Ibrox, which you'll probably scoose through anyway. But I think then you've got to look forward to the, right, can we take that to Tannadice? This is a big question mark for Rangers. Look, I think that, I said it on Tuesday, I would not have sacked. I agreed with what Rangers done, the board. They've come out, they're back to manager. Results have got to improve, of course they have. I would have kept them to the end of the season and then assessed it from there. But winning like the style, and the style they did last night, does them no harm whatsoever.
What evidence have you seen, Bert, that Rangers can pick up their away form, not only pick it up, turn it into something near flawless? Because you sort of said that as if it was a small tweak that needs made when,
yes,
you know, it's quite
a
big thing.
The first half against Hibs was phenomenal, and then whatever happened at half-time happened, and they just weren't the same team. Sorry if I keep cutting out, I'm just driving back from Brighton.
No, you're fine, you're all good, loud and clear. Oh, and then he has cut out a bit.
I think there's only a few small changes required, and Rangers will turn into an absolute animal.
The great thing is it's one of them. You can throw it out there, and if Bert's right in the world, he'll look like the smartest guy
memory
of all time.
Because wasn't it a full first half, was it, against Hibs? Let's be honest, it was for 30 minutes. As soon as Hibs scored, it was back to the old Rangers for a period, and that is the problem. When Rangers get it going, like they did last night, and like for 30 minutes against Hibs, and for all the game against Celtic, they look a team that could contend. But that doesn't win you leagues. You know, sporadic bursts. Rangers have got a problem away from home. We can clearly see that. And I'm like you, I don't see any evidence so far until they go to Dundee United and other away games further down the line that could back that. And the only way you could do that is by winning convincingly.
Thank you to Bert, somewhere between Brighton and Eaglesham. 01419511025. Please do join in. Rangers fans, what did you take away from last night? Aberdeen fans, do you share the same frustration as Martin, the first caller, or a slightly different version? Do let us know, and we will speak to you after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on 01419511025. I think you got treated to a bit of his singing there just coming out of the break, which is not ideal. But what have you got for us this evening? We're looking back on the game between Rangers and Aberdeen. Maybe leftover thoughts from Celtic's trip to Dens. The transfer window is here. Transfer speculation. We can get that going. We've got the Scottish Cup weekend. What more could you want? Give us a call, please, on 01419511025, or tweet us if you would prefer. You can do that over there at Clyde SSB. Davey is in Kirkcaldy. How's it going, Davey?
Good evening, boys. How we doing?
Good, thank you. All good here. What made you call tonight?
Well, three things. I'd asked a couple of questions to yourself and the panel about Rangers, and lastly, a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I heard that the Dazzler was looking for a new kitchen. I'm the man to see.
Oh, Davey, you're a man to see. Right,
are you?
Patch your number
in. Looking for a new kitchen.
I've got a bespoke kitchen company in Kirkcaldy.
Aye, but Davey, hold on a minute. Is it dear or cheap? Because this is a game changer.
Oh, no. For you, my friend, well, I'd look after you. Don't you worry.
Right, Davey, leave your number, I'll phone you.
I do really want to get to the football very soon.
How does he do this?
What do you mean?
What
do you mean you've heard that he needs a new kit?
Don't tell him, Davey.
Is he telling people in Kirkcaldy? Is that what this is?
The word around the streets in the KTY is that Dazzler's looking to get a new kitchen. That's the word on the street.
Right, Davey, I'm on you.
Are you doing the flat up?
Yeah.
Are you?
Full lot.
New recliner.
Kitchen,
told us about the weekend.
There are three coming. So everything. Davey, leave your number, I'll be on to you. What's the discount first?
He's using
What's
this show
here?
As a
service. I don't
think
they're allowed to do that.
No. You can't get free kitchens.
I didn't say free. I gave Davey a couple
of
quid.
We shouldn't laugh about such serious matters, but all the talk pre-Christmas about moving house has changed, and it's now he's just getting a new
kitchen.
He's getting a new kitchen.
I'm laughing.
In the flat that he's currently in.
So that tells its own story.
Jump to your own conclusions. Davey, before we get anyone in trouble, please talk to me about football.
Right. So, two questions I had. Obviously, I've listened to your previous caller, who's convinced the Rangers are going to win the league, and I had to chuckle. I'm a Rangers fan, obviously, and I think you've got to be realistic that the league is done. There's too many points to gap, but our waveform's terrible. So the questions I was wanting to ask was, one, what looks like what could be a successful season for Rangers in the current climate? Is it a European run? Is it a cup run, the Scottish Cup? Would that be enough? And where do Rangers need to strengthen in January?
Ooh, what is success if you don't win the league? Is there a
cup?
Is there a version?
Cup. Scottish Cup.
Ah, but is that anywhere near enough?
Yeah, I think right.
Seriously?
This season, yeah.
All right, from this point.
Yeah, from this point, yeah.
I know what you mean.
I'm not talking about from the start of the season.
Right,
but where Rangers are just now, if they got the Scottish Cup, which has got to be difficult, let's not be kidding.
But Davey's asking, what's a successful season?
Right now, winning the Scottish Cup and probably getting into next phases of Europe.
Mark?
Which they're capable of doing.
I would agree. I mean, I think... Well, I'm pretty certain anyway, they're finishing second now. There was a period that you thought, they're not going to finish second, but I think they've got that. So all else you can strive for is silverware and a decent run into Europe. Any run deep into Europe excites any fan base. The year Rangers got to the cup final, I mean, it was extraordinary around the city. And the one silverware with the Scottish Cup into that year, just the week after. So that would be a success, I'm sure. It's going to be difficult to do. Obviously, they've got all respect to Fraser, but they've got a good draw, and that'll take them through to the next round. If the draw's kind to them and gives them some home fixtures, then it's definitely achievable for Phil. Come on.
What do you think, Davey? Would that, from this position then, would that satisfy you?
No. I think the honest answer is, and anybody will tell you, the league is your bread and butter. That spins you all the bragging rights. It sort of brings you the Champions League money, and Celtic have got so much more in the bank, so much more on the pitch, the golf. Although we beat them at Ibrox, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, over the course of the season, they've just got such strength. And the thing is, the minute we get close to them, they'll just go and spend more. Rangers need to win the league, so they need to win the league. However, where we're sitting just now, if the Rangers, the frustrating thing was, if Rangers hadn't dropped points in the two games before the Old Firm and the two games after the Old Firm, then you'd probably have a title race on at the moment. But the inconsistency of Rangers has probably cost them the league this season.
I think there's like a human nature element where you just have to reassess your goals.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, I know everybody wants to win the league and everything else is sort of deemed as a failure, but from here, say Rangers were to finish second with what looks like a respectable gap. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Is that 7 points, say?
Well, it's respectable when you look at it's 13 points just now. And that was a whole lot worse a couple of weeks ago.
That's not to say that's going to be easy. Work to be done. If that were to happen, would that be all right? Would that be acceptable?
I think you've got to be realistic. I get what Davey's saying. You need to put the past behind you. Rangers aren't going to win the league now. So you're right. How close can they get to Celtic and how do they do that? They fix out their away form, but also those two games against Celtic, and who knows, there might be another one in there in the Scottish Cup. You take care of those. You win, you don't lose them, but you win your home one at least. Can you get a positive result at Celtic Park? And if you get Celtic again in the Cup, can you win one of those meaningful games? I think that success, paired with a decent run into the later stages of Europe, that is a success from now to the end of the season. You then need to step back and rethink going forward into next season. But the past is gone. The draws and the defeats that they've suffered on the road this season, you can't do anything about that. It's about going forward now. What can you achieve going forward?
I suppose, Davey, looking for signs or that this manager's the guy to take you forward to next season and that certain players are the ones that you can build around?
Yeah, I mean, the jury's out, really. I've been back and forward at many Rangers fans with the manager. You have to feel sorry for him on one aspect because he is a decent manager. I believe that in my heart. But he's dealing with Rangers as a club, and the club's a mess. And he's almost got one hand tied behind his back. That doesn't excuse some of the results. He should be getting more out of the players, the inconsistency, the waveform. That's on him. When we won the Old Firm game a couple of weeks ago, you thought, all right, kick on. And then the next two games, you're going to drop points. And you're back to square one. I don't know about Phil Clement. I know a lot of folk love him, a lot of folk want him out, and it kind of goes round and round in a circle. I don't know, do you cut ties now and build with another manager, or do you give the guy time? I've never been a fan of sacking managers. I remember a time when Alex Ferguson was at Man United and they were all calling for his head, and he went on to be one of the most successful managers in the game. So it's a tough one. I didn't know the manager. He'd take it game by game.
Was last night, obviously things would change if more points were dropped, I get that, but until that time then, was last night proof that, is there a line drawn under the sort of uncertainty with the atmosphere and the fans and protests and stuff like that? Is that put to bed for now, or how does that side of it work?
I can't speak for the Rangers fans. Obviously, I mean, I wasn't at the game at the weekend. I was at the game last night, but watching the fans walk out, or the section of fans walking out in the 55th minute, me personally, if I was at the game, I wouldn't have walked out. I wouldn't have walked out in the club. But I understand why they're doing it. With Phil Clement, I think he's in a very precarious situation where when Patrick Stewart came out and said that they're backing him, but results need to improve, you can kind of read between the lines. I think the next time we drop points to, I don't know, maybe a bottom half of the table team, I think the pressure is really going to be on him. He needs to really go on now and win. Maybe Europe coming back might just help him, because Rangers always seem to go and play these big teams in Europe and we're meant to get beat and we never do, or we always seem to come through. We're going to Manchester next week. So you feel he's only maybe two bad results away from getting the sack. And I didn't mean getting beat by Man United. I mean going to St Mirren or going to Hibs or going to Motherwell and dropping points there again. I think if that continues, you wonder how much longer he's got.
The good thing about Old Trafford, Gordon, mm-hmm. is Rangers have done the business already in Europe. The, you know, the points are mm-hmm. in the bag sort of thing. It's not, I mean, I don't know, I'm not saying Rangers fans would be happy if it was to be a proper ugly scoreline or anything like that, but you know, the bigger picture is still got points on the board in the Europa League.
Yeah, their European campaign's been very good, Gordon. They've had some very good performances away from home as well, good results. So he's got a lot of sort of a credit in the bank for that. Old Trafford will be difficult, although they're not, and you know, the Manchester United of old, they're struggling a little bit just now, but it's always difficult going down there. Look, I've said I don't see the point, and some Rangers, a lot of Rangers fans probably disagree with this, but I don't see the point in getting rid of the manager just now. If I'm Rangers, I'm going with the manager to the end of the season. I feel sorry for him because he's a sort of manager just now. He lives game to game. You know, last night I thought Rangers football attractive. Everything about it was good. Good 3 points against Aberdeen. Could have been more. He goes to Tannadice. See if anything goes wrong at Tannadice. Inundated. We want him out.
Davey, the transfer window's obviously open. Lyle Cameron's probably about the strongest Rangers story we've heard so far. Is that one you would go for? Is that an area you would prioritise?
Me personally, no. I think he's a great player. But you've got Conor Barron, who has done nothing wrong this season and is only sitting on the bench because Raskins came back, and Raskins, he has to play, and he can't play them both. So another midfielder is that what we need. For me, I think we need to look at the back. For me, the last 4 or 5 games, they were playing with a second-choice left-back at right-back. We're also playing with Liam Kelly in goals. For me, the back. For me, I've never been a fan of Robin Proper. He's just a Rangers player or a Rangers defender. I think we need to strengthen the back. But that's just my opinion. Everyone's got a different opinion. Whether it's right, wrong or indifferent is up for debate. But for me, in defence, I think we need to really strengthen. Yeah.
Davey's obviously new here. He doesn't know that you're supposed to think that your opinion's the only one that matters and everybody else is talking rubbish. That tends to be how we work here. But thanks to Davey for his call. Much appreciated. Some good points well made. And on the subject of spending money, not quite on transfers, how does this sound? Every day is payday. The biggest payday of your life. That's what we're talking here. £225,000 to be won. The cash would be paid out in time for the weekend as well. Text YES to 61025 to enter. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 on the texts. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde 1 for £250 as well, or call 0330 880 4523. Those calls are charged at a standard rate. Now, it's over 18s only, and all the other rules for this Rayo Network competition are on line, but the important bit is this: the lines close at 3 p.m. tomorrow, so do not run out of time on this. All you have to do is answer your phone if we call, and the £225,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson's here, and you should know the drill on a Thursday night. His pal Gordon DL alongside him. So give them a call, please. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. Frankie dialed it. How's it going, Frankie?
Not too bad, Gordon. How's yourself?
Yep, all good in here, I have to say. What are you thinking tonight then? What made you pick up the phone?
Two things. One thing is, I'm bathtime Frankie now, that you had my son.
Oh, you're the one that phoned previously from the bath.
Well, I was coming out of the bath.
Right. So let's not split hairs here, shall we, Frankie? It was bath related.
And my boy was in the nursing room last night, the other night, watching the Celtic game. They phoned me up. He said, "Dad, you've just been on the Met, the repeat CD," which I think is a good idea. They're showing the repeats because I hate just sitting watching it yourself.
All right. So when we go to the break now in the live stream, it shows some like memorable calls from the past and bath time. Frankie's now, he's fun. You're like Frankie. You're liking this fame. You're like Gordon DL here. Mm-hmm.
You're milking it, Frankie.
We're the same age, kid. So
no, you're no kid. How old are you, Frankie?
Right, I've
I'll be 63 in February.
Exact same age.
Oh, well, you're older than me, mate. Don't start that.
Have you not seen it? Have you seen the television picks her out?
Of what?
The next Old Firm game in the league? The Dazzler's birthday.
Oh,
he said, right. You know what he said to me when he came in? He went, well, I can't use the word because it's a sweary word, but he went, raging at it. I said, why, what were you going to do on a Sunday afternoon for your birthday? Aye, right enough.
On that recliner. Yeah.
My new one.
Right, Frankie, so you're a Celtic fan, if I remember rightly, from the Bath Chronicles. So what's happening with your team this week?
Well, I tried to phone last week, but I never got on. And it was basically, my point is, and this voice there will probably have different opinions on it, I don't know. I'm for the year of James Gordon, where last thing you want to be is taking half as a sub, or even be a sub. And I just think that right now, Celtic's losing a lot of dynamism, because I know why he does it, but I think he's just overthinking it. I mean, if Engels plays it Saturday there and he was outstanding and he goes on the bench next game. So it doesn't matter how you play. It just seems to be, if you play well, you don't just stay in, you just come back out straight. And I think McGregor could be needing a rest. I've watched him a lot since the Rangers game, and maybe even prior to that, I think it was a game before, prior to that. He's the last man sometimes. We don't have a sitter. When he's the last man, he's not got the pace, and sometimes he's getting caught in the ball and he's overstretching, and you've seen it in a few games. And I just think, and we're reliant, we try and play through him all the time, but I think Bernardo can play the same role. I think Ingles can play the same role. I think McCown can play the same role. Hatate can do it. The only trouble with Hatate is he'll give the ball away, maybe, in the areas when he's doing better. I think he's just changing the four of them. Too much.
See the thing about that, right? Because maybe we need to meet in the middle somewhere. We've had a lot of stick about, you don't listen to sports scientists, you know, and players can play two games in a week, which is fine. Celtic and Rangers are going to play 9 games in January. That's an incredibly high number. 9 matches in January, coming off the back of a busy December as well. But they're not all going to play all of them, are they?
No.
And is that? And I know what Frankie's saying in terms of change, keeping changing it, lack continuity, but it's not like they're not picking guys off the street to come and play, you know.
Yeah, and 2 of those 9 games are elite against, you know, elite opposition and elite competition, if you like. So you have to be at your peak. You want your strongest team, both teams, Celtic and Rangers, for those fixtures. Celtic play Young Boys and Aston Villa. Rangers have got Man United and USG. Hugely important games. So you have to price that into your thinking when you're coming up against a Dundee United at home, or, you know, Dundee away, Ross County away, from a Celtic point of view, and similar with Rangers, with the games they've got coming up as well. As fit as players are, and as good as they are, they can't play that volume of games at their peak. So when Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement's got big enough squads to rotate, and particularly at home, I think you get away with it. I think on the road, it's a wee bit of a risk then. Mm. But where Brendan Rodgers' position is, he can afford it. He's got a 13-point lead, so there isn't that pressure to go and churn it win after win.
Yeah, but the only thing in that, and Frankie makes a point there about the captain, McGregor, it doesn't he rotate him a lot, does he? Yeah. You know, he'll rotate the other two, mix it up. But most of the games, McGregor's playing. And I agree. I sometimes think that Celtic can afford to leave McGregor out, as much as he is a... and very important player.
Did he sit out recently?
He was injured, was he not?
Yeah, was that what it was? I think St Johnson
at home.
He came on though, didn't he? He came on in that one, and then, yeah, I think it was that.
He had an injury and he missed a few games, did he not? But I do agree. I think the Celtic have got the personnel. Like, I think Bernardo is a top player for me. Right, okay, sometimes he's not at his best form, but I just think he's got everything in his locker. I think he's a top player. I think Bernardo could get in there and spell McGregor, absolutely no problem at all.
Frankie, is that what you put the draw the other night down to, or are there some individuals that are struggling a bit in terms of the criticism Brendan Rodgers gave to Austin Trusty? There wasn't a whole lot of love for Adam Ida on the phones last night.
Big Tony's no one after him. But
for the, I mean, Celtic, when Celtic scored, I mean, I'm sitting there just pouring a wee glass and saying, well, this is it tonight, another three or four. And Bernardo scores with a header, that'll probably how it end up. But they gave them oxygen. And the game scoring just after half time, you know, they were up for it. And, you know, you're always your weakest when you lose a goal. They say, Celtic score, the Yang scores, and, you know, fair play to the fair boy, and he's trying his best. But then they got the flat score again. And it's and for the first goal, I don't know what the big Carter Vickers was doing at the back post with the trying to pass the ball out. I just think sometimes they leave themselves wide open at the back like that, the corner kicks especially. Alistair Johnson stays back because he's one of the fastest. But even at that, Johnson should have come out, and for me, I should have engaged with the player before he got as far as he did.
You're always going to be able to do something better, Mark. I mean, that's how you lose. You know, you can always look at pretty much every goal, but Celtic had like four men kind of back when Adeyemi scores that. The first goal.
You know what? I think Johnson does well because his primary objective is to delay as long as he can to get other guys inside him. I think maybe he's just a few yards out. I think he can maybe then engage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying you can't do anything differently, but it's
a good goal from Dundee, yeah. By the way, if you're wanting a counter-attacking football and you set up to defend a corner and you leave one or two up, that's exactly what you're hoping for, that pace at the top end of the pitch. But of course Brendan Rodgers would be disappointed how they lost it. But I think you touched on it, I think he'd be disappointed with the set piece, you know, the one trusted for the third goal. There's an element he's just a bit out-jumped, but he's so tight and you expect better from a centre half of that caliber.
I think
caliber.
The second goal's worse. I don't think a centre half should get pushed off the ball the way he did. And by the way, all credit to Murray, right? Murray actually knew I could be favourite here to go and win this, and he was determined. And that's one thing about Murray, he will give you everything he possibly can, and he's great for Dundee. But Brendan Rodgers, looking at a 6'4" 6'4" defender, internet, should not be getting pushed off the ball like that.
Weak as, yeah. you could say.
Strong, well, if it's stronger, man.
Was the allegation. Look, Mark, if you thought Celtic were going to win every single game and never drop points, then the other night would be a huge disappointment. Is it just one of those things that, you know, is inevitable and is no big deal? Or are there, I don't know what you would say, I was going to say cracks starting to appear, but that's far too dramatic. You know what I mean? Is it a sign that form's dipping a bit, or is it just a one match blip? Or do you look at
it's
some
hard
other
because
performances?
You look at Ross County away then at the weekend, and they were brilliant. So I can't even see it being a dip in form. But you're going to get games like, I think what will disappoint Brendan Rodgers, losing three goals at Dens Park. So you're having to score three just to go away with a point. That won't be. That won't be pleasing for him. But even look at his invincible season, where they go unbeaten, they drew games along the road in that incredible run. So it's going to happen. I don't think he'll be too concerned at the moment. If it continues, if there's a pattern, especially away from home, then it's cause for concern. You don't want to be losing too many points and giving Rangers oxygen if their form's on the up.
I agree. Look, I wouldn't read too much into it. You've got to give Dundee credit. See, on the night, I thought Dundee were excellent. You know, tactically, they were very good. One or two things went for them. They get the goals at the right time. Celtic made a few mistakes at the back. They punished them. They always had a threat. Celtic aren't a team for me that, as much as the talent they've got, they're not going to go through a season and steamroller every team that they come up against. I don't think they're in that league yet. But you've got to give Dundee a bit of credit, but to say, you know, all of a sudden, Ida comes in for a bit of stick, one or two, Trusty comes in for a bit of stick. It'll be interesting, because Brendan Rodgers, I don't think he's too particularly happy with them. Now, remember what happened in the cup final? He wasn't happy with him 45 minutes, took him off, and Scales played the next few games. There's a lot of big important games coming up. You wonder if he's going to look at maybe throwing Scales back in there. It's interesting, that one.
Thank you to Frankie. It's that time of the night already for us. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Oh, big drama on Beat the Pundit last night.
Who was it?
Marvin Bartley.
He beat.
Won.
He won.
Which means he goes above Roger Hannah.
Really?
In the table, because Roger starts on -2 and he's lost a couple.
How many has Marvin lost?
Marvin's flying.
How many has lost?
Well, his percentage is 83%.
Is Roger's time come and gone?
I mean, he does
start hit his peak.
How many games he played?
He does start on minus two.
You know, everybody's run comes to an end. You know, it's like footballers. Roger's maybe in the twilight. He's beat the pundit career.
How many games has Marvin played?
Yeah.
12.
That's a considerable amount.
He expected me to say five or something. Look at the disappointment.
Hold on a minute,
in his
there's
face.
Guys. Right, Stephen O'Donnell, how many has he played?
We're bringing in new Hold rules on. For next season.
No, no, no. How many has Stephen O'Donnell played?
One.
How many has he won?
One.
100%. There you go. He's top of the league. That's your argument, isn't it?
No, Andy Halliday's top of the league.
Oh, yeah. How many has he played?
Nine.
Right. What's his percent?
100%.
And he's won all nine?
Yes.
Right, okay.
What's harder about this for you?
Right? He's joined with Stephen O'Donnell.
No, he's higher. I don't know where he's going. Played more games. He's won nine.
No, you can't take any games. It's percentage.
No, that's how we do it.
No. You just make this up as you go along. I've noticed that about you.
No, if you're level, if you're level on percentage, that's the way. That's like, you know, it's like goals for or whatever. That would be the next.
No. You're making your own rules up. It's all about percentages, right?
Well, listen. See if
Stephen O'Donnell's got 100%.
See if it's all about percentages. Right. You're third bottom, right? No, just remember that. 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here, so is Mark Wilson, and you can get in touch on the usual number or on social media to let us know what is on your mind tonight. Of course, looking back on the game between Rangers and Aberdeen at Ibrox, what did you take away from it? What were the main talking points? What were the big moments? Who were the standout players? Do let us know. Of course, all of this is always against the backdrop of your overall position, Rangers fans, and the way things sit at the moment. Celtic fans, you can still pour over Dens Park if you so wish. What about this transfer window? Is Kieran Tierney back to Celtic, back on? Is it going to happen sooner rather than later? Would you welcome that? Do you fear a Kyogo departure with Rennes seriously interested? And anything else that you think needs addressed during January, do share your thoughts. It's a bad day on the injury front for you Motherwell fans. Some bad updates there, and real excitement around the place as we get ready for the Scottish Cup fourth round as well. So give us a call, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I had a good question there from Martin O'Connor. He says, see, during the breaks, can you not just teach Gordon DL about percentages? By the end of the month, maybe he could do a Beat the Pundit where it's purely math based questions.
That would be entertaining.
And what are you going to educate me that one wins out of ones 100%? Is that wrong?
Indeed, that is correct.
Correct. Thank you very much. Move on. What more?
I don't know what
it sounds like. He's nailed it.
It's more like I don't know what point you're trying to make.
The point is, you just work on, doesn't matter how many games you play, you work on percentages, right? So Stephen O'Donnell is 100%, mm-hmm. So he's up the table.
Yeah, he's above you because you're hopeless.
Yeah, he's played one game, but that's what I'm saying. So don't change the rules by saying...
Is he not quite often argued the other point,
yes,
though?
Yes, exactly.
You have quite often argued that you play... that you play loads.
Any chance of you backing me up here?
I was confused there because I'm usually sitting here listening to the opposite argument.
Bottom of the table.
Well, I didn't win the other argument.
Bottom of
one.
The table, Cammy Bell. Just above him, Scott Allen. Just above him, Gordon DL.
No, I'm not.
You wouldn't expect anything.
Many games I played there, sorry.
Also, we're now back.
Oh, we're back
No, we're not. Many games.
18.
Many games have I won?
13.
13 out of 18, and I'm third bottom, mate.
I know, that's percentages.
See,
for you.
Yeah, it's mad, that's percentages.
So, what's your argument then? 100%.
Hold on.
There you go.
You're arguing. My brain's fried here.
What does it say about don't argue with daft people because they drag you down to their level and beat you with experience?
It certainly has.
Something like that.
You know I'm right.
They also say that just randomly.
He's 100%
fact.
Right.
Yeah. That's what you should say. Fact.
Fact.
That's
factual.
What people say. Just start throwing that in there and then people really believe you. Martin is in Clydebank. How's it going, Martin?
Not bad. How's yourself?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
I've not, no.
Right, okay. How do you usually do when you play along at home?
So-so.
That's not good, is it?
I think Martin sounds okay, right?
Or is it a bluff?
I think Martin's a bluff. I like the sound of Martin's voice.
Is it?
I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think there's a wee bit of...
Do you think he's boring but intelligent?
Boring Martin?
Aye, boring Martin.
Why
but intelligent.
Called him boring?
He could be bluffing you like the traitors.
Yeah, I love
or a
the
double
traitor.
Bluff, triple bluff. You're right into that stuff, aren't I?
I'd love to go on the traitors. That's my next.
That's your
show.
Dream.
Yeah,
your bucket list.
That's my bucket list.
I see you on there, no problem at all. What you up to date?
Yeah,
we can't do spoilers in case people aren't. Don't say anything. He is the worst. The other night I was watching.
I was let you go in the room, mind.
That's a fair point. But the other night I was watching it just a little bit behind, and he texts me something. Well, what about so and so?
Walked
my phone away. Right, here's the deal, Martin. I will toss this coin. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and if it's tails, it will be Gordon the percentage DL. Right, come on then.
Is
Mr. Mathematician.
Yes. Ooh. I'm desperate to play.
Good luck, Martin.
All the best, Martin.
Right,
cheers. Right, Martin.
Doesn't sound too clever, does he? He's panicking. Just keep passing, Martin, you'll be fine.
What I'm going to do is give Gordon something else in his headphones, Martin, as we always do. Please stop singing, your mic's still on. 30 seconds. I just realised he won't hear me telling him to stop singing because he's got music in his ears.
Wonderful
anyway,
tonight there by Clapton.
Martin, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right,
30 seconds, your time starts now. What Spanish club does Scott McKenna and Ollie McBurnley play for?
Real Sociedad.
Name any non-SPFL team left in the Scottish Cup.
Falkirk.
Andy Irving plays for which English Premier League club?
Pass.
Who was Celtic's last full-time Scottish manager? How many Welsh internationals play for Rangers?
Two.
Which team is bottom of Scottish League One?
Dunno.
Fair enough. Can't say fairer than that. Are you back?
Yeah.
Ready.
Right. Spandu.
I'm not confident for you here. I am not confident for him. No.
Oh, come on then.
Okay, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What Spanish club do Scott McKenna and Ollie McBurnley play for?
Pass.
Told you.
Name any non-SPFL team left in the Scottish Cup.
Fraserburgh.
Scott Andy Irving plays for which English Premier League club?
Brentford.
Who was Celtic's last full-time Scottish manager?
Who was Scottish manager? Gordon Strang.
How many Welsh internationals play for Rangers?
One.
Which team is bottom of Scottish League One?
Bottom of Scottish League One?
Don't repeat it to buy you more time. Do you think I'm daft? Hurry up. Three, two, one.
Dunfermline. No, it's not.
I'm not even bottom of the championship.
Earlier bottom of the thing.
It's too late. Time's up.
Arbroath are top.
Let's go down them. Who's second?
Arbroath are top. Who's bottom?
We'll get
East Fife are top of the second. Cowdenbeath. Clyde.
Not even in the league.
Hold on, I've got this.
You'll find out in a minute.
Forfar. No, it's no, they're two.
Can't even read it properly.
What's wrong with this guy?
Dumbarton.
Oh well, that's that spoiled then. Rather than going through them. Okay, let's find out. The Spanish club that Scott McKenna and Ollie McBurnley play for. No,
Las Palmas.
Las Palmas.
If he gets that, I'll give him a ball myself.
He did not get it. The non-SPFL teams left are Brechin, Broxburn, Musselburgh, Clydebank, of course.
Martin will get that.
And Fraserburgh. Okay, well
done.
Did
Martin get it?
He didn't.
Oh, man.
Poor show, Martin.
For goodness sake, Martin.
What about the team of Andy Irving?
Andy Irving, he's a rugby player.
He got called into the Scotland squad this season, remember?
I wouldn't
was
have
a kid
that.
At Hearts, moved
Bournemouth.
Abroad, like Austria. West Ham.
So he was a midfield player. So he was. I tell you what, Martin never got
Martin's
that as well.
Got no chance of that.
Didn't. Martin, you're going a donut direction here.
I know.
I can spoil it now because. No, I won't. I'll keep you waiting. Gordon Strachan, you both got it.
Well done, Martin.
Martin's back.
Is that 2-1 to Gordon Gale? 2-1,
I'm hanging on here.
How many Welsh internationals play for Rangers men's first team? You have Tom Lawrence.
Yep, that's it.
Rabbi Matondo.
He's no Welsh.
Well, he is.
Yes.
Is he?
He's, and that's
he's
it.
He's Welsh.
Two.
Did Martin get that?
Martin.
Oh, oh no!
Yo. And he's level.
Oh no.
Who's bottom of Scottish League One? It is, of course,
Dunbarton, yeah.
Martin went, dunno.
Oh, which was no. Fair enough.
Which means we're going to a tie break.
Hold on a minute. My Tondo's no Welsh.
What is he then?
Can we not? Can we not do this? He's right. Okay. He's Welsh.
Just shut up, Martin. He's no.
Just right, quiet before you get the sack.
Quiet before you get the sack. I'm getting the sack a long time ago, Martin. Right, is that a tiebreaker?
Yeah.
No.
I cannot bring myself to read this question.
Is that a percentage?
No, it's worse. It's going to really.
I'd blow my brains when I
do it.
Come on.
Right, quickly, right. Please don't take all night on this. It's just a guess. If you add the capacities of all the top tier stadia together, what is the answer?
What?
So the 12 teams in the Scottish top flight, you add all their stadium capacities together. What have you got? Write it down.
That's 1,000.
All right, okay. Right, Martin, what are you going?
Hurry up!
210,000.
Okay. Gordon DL says 260,000.
I'm wrong.
Martin says 210,000. I thought you just meant 260. I was worried there. One of you is only about 5,000 out.
Please very, tell it's me.
Very impressive.
I know. I see the way you're building this up. It's Martin, isn't it? I know it is.
It's 254,000.
There's your apples. Well
Martin.
Done, Martin.
Martin, there's your apples.
I've never heard that one before.
Was that there's your dinner and how'd you like them apples?
Aye, exactly. Well, I mixed in. Sorry, Martin, that's what I meant to say.
Hard lines, Martin.
I tell you what, you're on me close here, Martin. That's my percentage right up.
Oh, I'm devastated, Martin. Who's your team, Martin?
Celtic.
What are you thinking at the moment?
Just that makes it sweeter.
Just a quick blip the other night. Is that all it was?
Just a wee blip the other night. I think we'll do a job against Young Boys.
Well, it's going to be a good one next week. Thanks to Martin on the line.
Well done, Martin. Good game.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Good game, mate. Yeah, off you go.
That was some shout, by the way.
I calculated. I multiplied it.
Multiplied what?
Well, I added the two big teams together and then the other 10. I
had problems here calculating how many teams were left after the two big ones.
I put an average of 12,000. So if you get that and you add the two together, it comes to 260.
Exactly. That's
and then
great
you divide it by one. There
I'm
you
lost,
go.
Absolutely lost, I have to say.
That was impressive.
There's your apples. It was good though, wasn't it?
Never heard that same
really
before.
Good. Was it Tuesday or were you on last week when we played the clip of him making it onto another football podcast?
I heard this. I listened.
It's brilliant,
amazing.
Yeah.
About the goalkeeper under his gloves.
Gordon Deal made it onto football cliches.
Now, you'll not be impressed by that, but that is quite a big.
By describing Liam Kelly as getting minutes under his gloves. I loved it.
And it makes sense.
What's your big thing?
Well, getting recognised on another podcast, it's very popular.
You say recognised.
Well, they weren't mocking him, were they?
Nah, they
because
weren't.
Because they actually says it made sense. So you're ahead of the game. You're making up new sayings. I don't think the apples one's going to stick.
It's just a new
unless meat. You're a fruit and veg salesman.
I'm flying now. I feel good. I'm got good energy about me.
You can that feel new it. Face, man.
You can feel it. My aftershave and everything.
Oh, he's got new aftershave on. He said to me in the break.
I can smell it.
Can you smell my new aftershave?
Nice, I said,
Stephen actually sent me a message with a really good point on the back of Gordon Deal making it onto football cliches. And I think you and I have noticed this before because we'll give each other a knowing glance. Stephen said that his favourite Gordon Dealism, look at the way he's concerned already, is when he takes like a perfectly normal football phrase. Before it, he puts what I like to call
a front four. What I like to call the front four.
What I like to call the back four. You know, everybody calls it that.
What I like to call the starting 11.
What I like to call an in-swinging corner. You know, just things that everybody says. And see now that once you start noticing it, you cannot.
I don't think
ignore
I say
it.
That.
You do
don't
that all the time.
It, do you?
No,
it's a belter.
So good, honestly.
I enjoy it. Good.
What I like to call a counter-attack. You know, just stop think, anybody says.
Have you invented that? And other managers have caught on to like a front three.
Well,
can I
tell you? The answer is always no.
No.
Yeah.
Right?
I like to give him credit. He came up with the apples and the gloves one.
Get some apples under his gloves.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The apple picker.
The pink ladies.
01419511025 is the number that you need, so do give us a call. Let us know whether you're on about the action this week. Maybe a more wider point about transfers. You know, I said it at the top, and I think it's unavoidable with, you know, Rangers and Celtic, anytime they play, the sort of day before, day of, day after kind of dominates the show. They've both played five times. We're 16 days into January, and we're not really talking about the transfer window. Yeah. What have you made of the Kyogo stuff, Mark? Because, well, I saw, you know, Ren and that interest and so on.
Just won't go away. Well, that about Kyogo, that's the thing that surprises me. Look, a lot of chat about Kyogo from the start of the season, as he hit his best form, as he went off the boil, but he always scores goals. And it's my belief that if he continues to the end of the season, he'll probably hit his average tally for the last couple of seasons. But this Atlanta thing was odd, and I know that was the club's mistake, but now this Ren thing has come up, and it tends to be no smoke without fire. You just wonder how truthful some of these rumours are. Does Kyogo want to go? Well, I think he'd be stupid to want to leave Celtic. But does Brendan Rodgers, you know, see him as his out and out number one striker that he would do anything to keep?
Would that picture look any different at all if Adam Ida was flying at the moment? Now, I'm not saying you just go, yeah, Kyogo, see you later, you know, on your way. But if you were weighing everything up and you were saying, if he wanted to leave, these are all ifs, so don't know any of this stuff. If there was an opportunity there, what is he, 30 years of age? Mm. So you know that your time to cash in is, you're at quite a delicate point. And Adam Ida's flying, presumably that decision just becomes easier. But I can't imagine many Celtic fans would be comfortable with the notion that in this window.
I think they'd be crazy for Celtic to let him go. You've seen his worth at the weekend. His movement in the box is brilliant. Yes, he's been up and down this season, but he's still a massive, massive player for him. You can argue the fact that now everybody's looking at young Kenny's coming through. He's come back from loan. They're looking for him to be the next big thing. Ida has went off the boil and people are giving him a bit of criticism. I think there's a lot to do with the price tag involved in that as well. But unless, look, every player's got his price, right? We all know that. But unless you got that price that Celtic wanted, you would have to be off your rocker to let Kyogo go just now.
In terms of areas, Mark, I mean, I think Brendan Rodgers is one of the only areas I think he's said that they would look to strengthen. Managers always keep it close to their chest, but out wide, they've obviously had injuries. They could be doing with another real quality addition there anyway. Is it Raul Moro was the name earlier, the Real Valladolid, Spain under-21. I don't expect you to know loads, but would that be an area you would expect Celtic to try and address quickly?
It looks that way at the minute because they've got injury problems. They ask an awful lot of Maeda, don't they? And Kuhn's been outstanding, but under those, James Forrest is still going to play a big part. Yang, he's plugging a gap just now, but I'm not quite in the Hugh Keevans camp that thinks Yang's useless, but I think he can certainly do a job. But will he take you to the next level? Probably not. So you could see that's an area. The Jota thing won't go away as well, will it? Obviously, Kyogo being linked, and I read something today. Is there something in there, cash deal plus Jota? I don't know if that will ever happen. But Brendan Rodgers, it's quite ironic. He had a go, remember, first time around, about the amount of wingers that he had at the club. He's got a couple of good ones, but he's looking to add in that position just now. It's interesting because there hasn't been much movement from many teams this window, and you're right, the volume of games is just taking all our attention, and it's probably the same for managers as well. They're probably concentrated in these games so much that...
But that's surely where your structure kicks in.
Recruitment department kicks in. But both clubs have had problems in that department as well, haven't they? Behind the scenes, not quite... You know.
Maybe you just have to accept, for a start, Rangers have publicly said they'll bring one, maybe two in the window. And although Celtic would always want to strengthen, they still are in a pretty good spot. So they're not going to sign seven players, are they, in the January window? So,
and it's quite difficult, isn't it, to get the quality in that you would desire to take you to the next level in a January window anyway. So
it was a January window that Hatate and O'Reilly arrived for Celtic, wasn't it?
I think so.
When you think of that, that's in for the money that they cost.
Well, incredible business. Did Maeda come in that window as well?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. And they made instant impacts. That's quite unusual. And the business was done right at the start of January. I don't think we'll see that an awful lot, but I would have expected some more, I don't know, rumours or some more action from teams, even out with Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, I think you used the word quality, and I think that's what Brendan Rodgers will be looking for, especially with the amount of money they've got to splash out if they need be. We know that always doesn't work, but I don't think there'll be a lot of movement. I think he'll try and strengthen the wide areas, as was well documented, especially with a lot of games coming up to the end of the season. But I don't think it'll be four players or three or four players. I think it'll be one, two maximum. And you look across the city, I think Rangers have said one or two, but I think it's all to do with who they get out the door. They've got a big wage bill. They need to sort of start to look at that.
Right, 01419511025. I know it's not as exciting as players in, but that could be one for you. What players do you think need to leave this window? What are the type of trimmings that need to be done? Give us a call. You can keep looking back on the other games from this week. We can preview the cup. Do what you like within reason. 01419511025, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where you take two of the finest footballing brains in the land and then combine them, put that brain power together to come up with the answers to the full-time teaser. I mean,
excuse me,
it's powerful.
The force behind it is just remarkable. I'm quite sure we'll have had a variation on this teaser before, but I don't mind it at all. The Crazy Pony has sent
like
in
the Crazy Pony.
His question the other night would have blown your head clean off.
Can
you
be
hear
bored
it
with him?
With the letters?
No.
I'm actually disappointed myself for even bringing this up, because I'm now going to spend half an hour explaining a question that you're not doing. So you had to name, as an example, you had to name the last player who scored for Celtic or Rangers that had three letters in their surname, right?
Right.
But you then had to do that for four letters, five, six, sit all the way up to 12.
Oh,
who was the three
wow
then?
Ojo. Remember Shea Ojo?
I wouldn't have got that.
Not a chance.
And then somewhere easy, like Kuhn is four.
Yeah. So five. Who's five? Kyogo.
Maybe loads with five.
Yeah, it's the latest one.
Oh, Kyogo. The latest one, right? Aye.
Kyogo.
I think he was in for Furuhashi for the, you know, and Engels was it? Engels six or whatever.
Ah, sure, is right.
And that's all the way up to Hak Sabanovic at 12.
You'd have had to turn the light out and come back and get me in the next morning with that one.
That was a Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday special. Yours is much easier.
Go.
Can you name the top 12? English.
12?
Why is there 12? That
well,
doesn't look
no,
like
we'll
English.
Right.
What?
That doesn't look like 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Brilliant. It says 12, but there's only 8 answers.
Okay. Minus 4.
The top 8 English Premier League appearance makers who've played in Scotland. So who are the top
Roy Keane.
8 English Premier League appearance makers who've played in Scotland?
Defoe.
What did you say first?
Keane.
Roy Keane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Defoe?
Yes.
Robbie Keane?
Yes. Okay, leave it there. No more for now. If you say them, they will be ignored. So
okay,
don't waste my
I
time.
I won't say them.
Can you name the top 8? I think question says 12. I've got
Aaron
your answers
Ramsey
down. I told you I'm not answering.
Is he?
The top 8 English Premier League appearance Ramsey makers who've played in Scotland. Jermaine Defoe, Roy Keane and Robbie Keane. Let's bring in Ross, who's on the line. How are you, Ross?
How you doing? All right?
Yeah, good, Ross. What's happening with you?
I was just to pick up on what Gordon Dale was saying about Adam Ida. Mm-hmm. The price tag, it's really, obviously the price tag does matter to an extent. He's a Celtic striker, and he's not scored in, what, 12 games?
Yep.
I'm not arguing that point.
So what do you mean, Ross? You think Gordon has been harsh?
You said he's getting a lot of, no, but you said he's getting a lot of criticism.
Ah, right, got you.
Because his price tag.
Sure.
But he's a Celtic striker.
Yeah, I think
he's not. It should be 12 games is a long time for any striker. Celtic,
yeah,
not
listen, I don't disagree with you, but with the fact that he's came with such a high price tag, mm-hmm, doesn't help him. You look at when he came in at first last year, he scored goals in big games, important goals. He waited a long time for Celtic to get him over the line in the summer transfer window. Eventually got there. So it does, it adds a bit of pressure, there's no doubt. If you're not scoring goals, and he's right, any team, if you're not scoring goals, then you come under the spotlight. But if you're a £9 million player, not his fault, the club paid £9 million for him, I think it adds a bit of pressure to him.
I agree with that. I think it does. It's not the player's fault. He's had opportunities. I think that's the disappointing thing. When he came in January to May, would they score something like 9 goals or something like that, or round about that? But Daz is right. It was in big games. Big games, and that's what mattered. That's what inflated his price. And Celtic thought he was worth that.
I think it also played a part that, I mean, I'm sure Brendan Rodgers did as well, but, you know, everyone, it seemed just everyone, like, really wanted him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if the price ended up just sort of going up and up.
But that's good. That's, everyone's going to want him because he scores against Rangers. He scores the winning goal in the cup final as well.
Celtic fans there was a lot of noise about it, wasn't
there? Yeah, of course. So, of course, his parent club, Norwich, would have known that. So, of course, you're going to bump the price up. Now, when the player gets his chance, up to him to take it. He has been off the ball. Look, I think I heard you saying the other night, he played his part in the goal, the first goal at Ross County. So there's a lot more to his game as well in the link-up. But strikers at Celtic will always be judged on their goals. And if you've got a big price tag, then it doubles that scrutiny, probably. So as harsh as it is, that is the price in the ticket when you come to Celtic. And he's got Kyogo, it seems like, when he gets the opportunity, and he's not playing his best, he tends to get in the score sheet, so that doesn't help him as well.
So what do you think, Ross? What is this? Is this just a little blip? Is it confidence low? Will he come good again? Or have you got worries that the signing's not progressing the way you wanted it to? What's your feelings on it?
Personally, I think that he's doesn't look that interested. I think he's trying. I think he could try a bit harder. Personally, when they paid £9 million for him, Norwich must be laughing at us.
To be fair, right, see in the summer, when you look at when he come up to Scotland, the goals and the important goals he scored, I think that, yeah, obviously Norwich cashed in. £9 million is a big asking price. But at that time, Brendan Rodgers was prepared to wait a long time for him to get the deal over the line. So you've got to trust the Celtic manager. Yes, it's not happened for him this season. I think you see him in games. I thought his link-up play for the first goal at Ross County, as Mark highlighted, was brilliant. But as a striker, you need to score goals. He's one of these guys, he's just like everybody else. As a striker, you need a goal. He needs a goal quickly, and then he can kick on for there. I think he's got very good ability. You wouldn't beat Celtic if you don't.
I think in the summer as well, see the price tag for Engels and Ida, I think it was almost like a show of strength for the Celtic board. You know, there was so much scrutiny that they've got all this money banked and the Celtic fans are not spending it. And, you know, why they're not spending it? So you go out and spend £9 million because you've got a guy there that's scored 9 goals and big goals for you. And maybe it wasn't worth £9 million, but they had the funds in the bank and they did what the fans wanted.
But then I think Ross's point, correct me if I'm wrong, is that actually, if you forget that, though, it doesn't really matter what he cost, he's still not contributing to the team
Ross is saying, I wouldn't have paid £9 million, and that's what it always comes back to. Fans will always say, he's not pulling up any trees just now, and I wouldn't have paid £9 million. Unfortunately for him, it's always going to come back to that. But it's hardly made a dent in Celtic's finances.
No, but again, though, if you look at it from us on sporting merit, then forget financial. Whatever it is. Is the goal return what you're looking for from a main?
No, I totally agree with that. I don't think he is contributing to the team at this minute in the previous 12 games. But I'm just saying, from the fans' point of view and from Ross, what he's come on and said, that the £9 million just gets dangled over him all the time.
Ross, is it, you know, that chance the other night at Dens, is that very typical of a striker that's maybe not in confidence, even just not full of confidence, just not committing to these? Because you say he's not interested, but I mean that's quite hard to believe, isn't it? I know we hear that stuff, but he's going to be interested, he's going to be frustrated, but just not quite clicking for him.
Yeah, it definitely lacking confidence. Well, a couple of goals, getting back on track, I don't know. But to me, like, Maeda's even in front of him. If anything happens to Ogo, that would be the way I would look at it.
I don't think that's the case. That's just a personal opinion, but I think Brendan Rodgers, if Kyogo wasn't fit for the next game, important game, and I think Adam Eder would start up front. I think a lot of Celtic fans are quite excited about Kenny. We saw a brief glimpse of him at Ross County. I think he looks a bit sharp. He was a wee bit unfortunate. He had a good opportunity. I think that the pitch played a big part in that, just got caught under his feet. But Adam Eder is like everybody else just now. If you're a striker, you need goals. Goals builds confidence. If he gets one, he could go on a run. There's no doubt, because he has got the ability to score.
Is it more the top end of the pitch, Ross, that interests you? Because obviously there's been a lot said this week about Austin Trusty and things at the back.
I just hope Brendan Rodgers has got through to Trusty. Was a bit weak at the back. Stiney's feet.
Yeah, do you know what it reminded me of? Just because of the old lip reading thing and Brendan Rodgers. Was it, who was the player? Was it Mikey Johnson when he trudged off and you could see Neil Lennon telling him?
Castle. I was at Ross County as well, wasn't it? Was it Dingwall?
St Johnson,
I think that was.
It just reminded me of that.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
One of our New Year's resolutions was footballers hiding and football managers hiding what they're saying.
There you go.
Maybe Brendan Rodgers should have taken heed, but I quite like that people see that there's that emotion, because I think fans, when they see a mistake like that, they think, what's the manager saying? The manager usually control their emotions. I think it's quite refreshing when you see a manager clearly what they think, you can lip read them.
I was looking over Austin Trusty's other games though, to see, because sometimes that will happen like once and then people think that that's the case all the time. Although he always gets bullied, you know, he's not for the physical battle. I'm not sure that is the case. Looked at some of the other performances, I feel like they have been quite good. But then one of the pundits last night was talking about the Falkirk game. Is that his first one? Was that his first game or something when he came in, or one of his early one of his early games? I don't think he's shown that he has no physicality, but you need to be careful amongst the perception of fans. As you do that once or twice, and then that
I think Trusty's a good player, Gordon. I really do. I think he's a top quality player. But if you're playing the Scottish League and you're playing against somebody like Simon Murray, you know what he's going to give. You know that he's going to be at you. He knows he's going to be in about and try and upset you. And then even at the corner kick, he gets caught up and he's on the ground, you know, with somebody standing his toe, and then he gets out jumped for the goal as well. Look, he had a bad, bad day at the office. Of that, there's no doubt. I'll be interesting to see the next big game if he sticks with him, because we've seen it before with Trusty. Cup final, 45 minutes, had enough, scales is on. But I just think there's something in Trusty. I think he's a decent player.
Did you like the goal celebration for the one that he got out-jumped?
Right, do you know something? I had to Google that boy to see if he was an ex-Celtic player.
I think everybody did the same.
Yeah. I could not... What is that all
was
about?
Was his explanation... What was his explanation?
I didn't know what to do.
He said he just didn't know what to do. Just going to get lost in the moment.
I'm not having that, mate. I'm not having that. The Celtic jersey underneath his Dundee one hang was a problem. I'm not having that. You cannot score a goal
like
that.
Maybe just thought, I don't want to get Celtic too excited, because there's still time to play and Celtic might equalise.
Here's an easy quiz question for you. Ruined if you listened to the show last night, I have to say, but when Luke McCowan refused to apologise and held his hands up, who do you think the first message was to receive? Quite easy, that one.
Quite rightly so.
It's true.
Andy took a lot of heat for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. See, if I'm scoring a goal, I'm celebrating.
You're selfish though as well.
No. The greatest feeling in the world, mm-hmm, any footballer will tell you, scoring a goal.
I know, but you
celebrate it.
I do agree with that logic, but you also only care about yourself. Correct. Which we all know.
I'm not doing
the one knee. That's how you do it.
Oh, I've been down the... Well, you know all about getting down the one knee.
Aye. Gosh, that's the celebration quit. He did.
Aye. That was good, wasn't it?
Ross, thank you. It was a good discussion, that. Nice debate to see how people feel about Adam Eder and price tags and goal contributions and all that sort of stuff. So thank you to Ross for bringing it up. If there's anything else you want to add on that, good time to do so. You want to shift focus to something else, again, let's do it. The Crazy Pony asks tonight, if you could name the top 8 English Premier League appearance makers who have played in Scotland.
Yeah.
You've got Defoe.
Yeah.
And both Keane's, Roy and Robbie.
Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, Shane Duffy.
No.
Joey Bartley.
No.
Dion Dublin.
He is a bit further down the list. He's got 312, but he's not enough. Really?
Hold on a minute. Joey Barton played with Manchester City in the Premier League for years. Is not up there.
What do you want me to say? Like, Joey Barton spent time in the Championship as well.
Freddie Ljungberg?
No.
Are you sure you've got this right?
Oh my goodness, just hurry up. You need 329 English Premier League appearances to make it onto this list. That is a lot.
That is a lot.
That is quite a... Oh, Schmeichel.
No.
Fraser Foster.
No.
For
Touré.
Yes.
Kolo Touré, yes. And we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're a good teaser, I have to say.
I've got one.
Let me read the question first. The Crazy Pony sent it in. And by the way, if you want to email your questions in to hear them used on the show, please keep them coming to fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the top eight English Premier League appearance makers who've played in Scotland? Jermaine Defoe is top, 496 English Premier League appearances. Roy Keane on 366. Kolo Touré and Robbie Keane.
Right, this one's a stick on. I can't believe I forgot about him. Joe Hart.
Correct. 340.
Out.
Tell me something. Butland in there?
He is not.
No? Okay.
I know this sounds obvious in the way I keep saying it, but you need a serious number to get on this. If you've spent any real time sort of in the championship or abroad, it's tough. So to see some of the guys that you mentioned, Ljungberg, Barton, both under 300. Kasper Schmeichel, 294.
Wow.
Because you think so. Well,
so we're talking household names here, aren't we?
Yeah, certainly with unbelievable longevity.
I'll not be all Rangers and Celtic because it's a crazy pony. He'll throw in a curveball.
Well, he can't throw in a curveball. It's just whoever's on the list.
Wouldn't he just get a question with Rangers and Celtic because we would scoot shut.
It's clearly mostly Rangers or Celtic.
Yeah, but there's a Hearts.
There are a few like older ones here for the 90s. Why?
Yeah. Probably need Spine.
Mike Newell.
No, nothing like that. 329 minimum.
Who was the centre back that played for Liverpool? Celtic.
Onsho.
No. Aye, Onsho, nah.
Sendros.
No. This is difficult, eh? You think this would be easy? People shouting at the radio just now. Names.
Get the math.
I wouldn't see, to be honest, the three that you've got left, I wouldn't say any of them are glaring.
No.
Because they're nowhere near as high profile as like Jermaine Defoe, Roy Keane, or Joe Hart. I mean, obviously well known and brilliant careers and all that stuff, but I'm cutting you just a little bit of slack on that.
Did you say 90s? Did you go back? Is Chris Waddle one?
No.
Is that too late? That's too it's far back.
No, Sutton.
No.
A couple of spells, didn't he? Villa, I mean, Chelsea,
even that, he's just
Blackburn,
clearly spent
Norwich.
Too long up here to have done that.
Four clubs, didn't he, down there?
Okay. Ian Wright.
What?
No way.
He's played loads of games.
Okay. He's not on the list.
Oh, I'm gutted for you. That was a great shout. Well done. The way you came up with it as well.
We can get back to it. Let's take a quick look at some of the other stories in Scottish football that we've not mentioned today. Start your hometown team, Gordon Dalziel. Have you ever known an injury list quite like it this season? And then just when it looked like it was clearing up, Paul McGinn out for months, the captain, just back, thigh injury at Easter Road, season over. Aston Oxborough, who missed the game at the weekend, broken thumb, 3 months out. And remember, injured at the same time as the number two, went back from his loan to West Ham. That's why they had an emergency signing of Archie Mayer. Left back Steve Seddon, he's going to be out for months as well. And that goes on to the list of Slattery, who was out for a year. Stamatolopoulos is still out. I think Lennon Miller's out, obviously. You've almost forgotten about that one.
Yeah.
Zach Robinson, season over. You know,
it's been incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to the treatment room in the morning must be absolutely jam packed. They're lucky they've got such a great physio in me, Davey Henderson.
Is all of them impact injuries? Like none of it's muscular. I'm just saying that. Philip, come on, had to go to sports science and too many injuries here. That's an extraordinary list that Motherwell have got.
I feel for Paul McGinn. I really do. I felt his pain at the weekend. You've seen him. The TV, he knew right away how bad the injury was. He was just back from long term as well. captain of Motherwell. He's been very important for Motherwell, and you know, I wish him a speedy recovery, but the injury list at Motherwell just goes on and on and on. The only thing I will say about Motherwell is that Stuart Kettlewell's lucky that he's got the team behind him, i.e. the Brian Caldwells of this world and the board and everything, because the amount of players that they've got out, they've backed them, they've still got a decent squad, and they're still doing brilliantly in the league.
Well, that's it, sitting fifth with that injury list, Mark, and I know not everything's rosy in the eyes of the fans. They've criticised some of the performances. They've got a really big week coming up because it's a double header against St Johnstone, once in the cup, once in the league. So it's not to say that this season's a brilliant success and that couldn't possibly change, but to be sitting in fifth mid-January with that injury list, a bit of credit due, surely.
Yeah, of course, unbelievable. The Motherwell fans, they're right in a respect to pay their money, they want to see entertainment, but entertainment is sitting in the top half of the league paired with a good cup run. So I think if I'm prioritising one of those games, I think I'd prioritise a cup game and try and get in the latter stages, drum up a bit of excitement. But with what's happened to him this season, it must be incredibly difficult. The question is, will he get the finances to bring in more bodies? Because what does that look like when everybody comes back fit? You know, he's then got another problem. How do you keep everybody happy? Maybe a couple of loans.
I think you would clearly look at like left back as an example. If Ewan Wilson, who's young and has been thrown into the team and done well, but he'd be the only one now if Steve Seddon's out. You'd look at, I think there are a lot of midfielders.
Yeah, I think looking at Motherwell, if they didn't have the injury problems, then that squad would need to be cut. Because if you go through Motherwell's squad, they've got a very, very big squad. And that's why I'm saying that Stuart's very lucky that he's got the backing of people behind him that understand the situation. And they're not just turning around saying, well, sorry, you need to cut your losses here and get rid of a few players. I think they're trying to back him. I think they're trying to get him over the line. They realise how, you know, the unfortunate with the injuries and the players, and by the way, important players as well to Motherwell that they've got out. So I'll be interested to see what they do in January. But as I say, the only good thing is they've got a good physio behind them.
I'm sure he is, man. But you're like your constant praise of the Motherwell physios.
Just in case I take a
wee, he must have an
up.
Injury coming up. He must have a sore groin or something.
I have to say, this is not really a topic I should bring up with like 2 minutes left of the show. You could do weeks on this stuff in terms of Scottish football structure, youth football structure, and you're involved in it, Mark. But one that's breaking tonight, maybe we can deal with it tomorrow over the weekend, that Rangers are essentially scrapping their B team.
Really?
It's quite a big, big story. Yeah, it's just been reported tonight. So like I say, I think we'll probably get Philippe Clement's thoughts at some point, and then we could, you know, we can have a full go at it on the show. But just going to be one to watch. I think the suggestion is they're going to prioritise like loan moves and you know, competing like the Challenge Cup and the Glasgow Cup.
Yeah.
So still a version, but
surprised at that.
Is the status quo working?
Because there's too big a gap for youth football to first team and loans. Do you keep a hold of them? Do you get enough control over players that go on loan? Do you get enough control over their schedule? I think there's not enough B teams or reserve teams now. I think that's a problem in Scottish football. I'm seeing it from my point of view, but I know an awful lot of coaches at my level think the same. And look at the B team, by the way. Hadji was playing in the B team a couple of weeks ago. You get a fit Hadji coming into your side. So it supplements the players who are sometimes injured or at your plan. So I'm surprised.
All right, we'll leave it there. Like I say, it's one we can elaborate on and just chuck it in at the end since it's breaking this evening. Before we go, can you name the top eight English Premier League appearance makers who've also played in Scotland? That would be so far Jermaine Defoe, Roy Keane, Cole Touré, Robbie Keane and Joe Hart.
Are we going far back as Gary McAllister?
He is four short of the top eight. He's 325.
Oh, I'm hitting a crossbar here. Come on, Mark. Help me out. Give us a wee clue, Gordon.
Two former Rangers players, one former Hearts player.
Former Hearts?
So the Rangers player is a striker, an English striker. He wasn't up here for long.
Franny Jeffers?
He played with Southampton. Big centre forward.
Eagle Austin stuff.
No,
he did play for Southampton.
The centre forward played Southampton. What's his name?
I said English and you said Eagle Austin.
Sorry.
Oh no, I can't remember his name. Big centre for Beattie.
James Beattie.
Beattie.
Right, quickly.
Oh, good shout. Huh?
This clue will do it for you straight away. Former Rangers defender scored an overhead kick in a game against Celtic.
Ugo Egeog.
The Hearts defender I knew would do you 455 English Premier League appearances.
Wow. Hearts defender.
Who did he play with in England?
Newcastle. Various teams, I think.
Oh,
Newcastle.
I don't Stephen
know.
Taylor.
No.
No.
Same time at that. Northern Ireland.
Aye,
international.
Aye, aye.
Oh, Aaron. What's his shake name? Aaron Hughes.
Aaron Hughes. Thank you, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. We are back tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.